Last week, the world's attention was focused on Berkeley as the UC Student Senate narrowly rejected a resolution to part from two companies that sell weapons to the Israeli army. Our next guest, Ronit Avni, is taking another approach to intervening in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Ronit's goal is to tell the world the story that isn't often told, the story of Palestinian nonviolent resistance to occupation. Her latest project in that quest is the film Budrus, which is showing tonight at the Kabuki Theater as part of the San Francisco International Film Festival. Budrus is produced by the nonprofit Just Vision, which also produced the film In Counterpoint about Israeli-Palestinian dialogue projects. In a KPFA exclusive, Women's Magazine's Kate Raphael talks with Ronit Avni about her award-winning documentary, which has recently taken New York by storm.
We saw the men trying to push the soldiers, and none of them could do that. But I think the girls could do it.
A nonviolent protest is not going to stop the ultimate way of defense.
This is a peaceful march. There is no need to use violence.
If you follow the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, as I certainly do, you've probably heard people lamenting, where is the Palestinian Gandhi? It's fashionable to ask that question lately, suggesting that if the Palestinians only had a charismatic leader committed to nonviolent struggle, then they would be able to win their freedom. Well, I'm not sure how many of the people asking that question imagine that Gandhi could be a woman. But the new film Budrus, which is having its West Coast premiere this week at the San Francisco International Film Festival, features a woman who could lay claim to that title. I am thrilled to be joined right now in the studio by the executive producer and producer of that film, Ronit Avni. Ronit, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So, of course, despite my introduction, Budrus is not really the story of one woman or even one family, but it's the story of one village in Palestine that's struggling to save their land from the encroaching segregation wall. Of course, many villages in Palestine are also struggling to save their land from the wall, and many have organized resistance to it. So why did you decide to focus on this one village?
We were constantly faced with the question you posed about where is the Palestinian Gandhi when we released our last film, In Counterpoint. And we felt that that question was coming from people who really hadn't been exposed to what was going on the ground. And we wanted to tell a story of a community that was adopting what they call nonviolent resistance or popular resistance that actually succeeded in meeting their political objectives, or at least their short-term political objectives. And in this case, it was about saving their community from destruction. We chose Budrus because it was an incredibly powerful story about people crossing all kinds of boundaries in order to save themselves. And they actually succeeded, and we wanted to give people a sense of possibility that there was something that ordinary people could do in the face of a tremendous, tremendous challenge.
So tell us a little about the village.
So Budrus is a small agricultural village. It's got a population of approximately 1,500 people. You can see Tel Aviv from Budrus. It's a very close-knit community that's comprised of both political factions and others, and a fairly they describe themselves as fairly conservative. Now, the village in 2003 was facing the possibility that it was going to be cut into two and that the population was going to lose access to their agricultural land. Their cemetery was going to be divided. Kids were going to see wall, fence, segregation barrier, whatever term you use, they were going to see it on their property from school, and the community just couldn't stand by and watch that happen. And so a community organizer by the name of Ayed Morar decided to bring together a meeting of village leaders to adopt a nonviolent approach to resisting the construction.
One of the main characters in the film is a young woman named Iltizam Morar. And the director, Julia Bacha, has called Iltizam's charisma and strength the heartbeat of this film. Who is Iltizam, and how did she come to play such a pivotal role in the village when she was only 15 years old?
Iltizam Morar is Ayed Morar's daughter, the community organizer's daughter. In the beginning, she had watched the men organizing and coming together. And she asked her father one day, you know, where are all the women? And he said to her, if you want women, go ahead and organize them. And so she did. Initially, she said she was able to assemble a group of 10 young women to move to the front lines. And by the time they arrived, only three were left. Other people were frightened, or other people felt that they didn't know what the men and the boys would say about their presence. And those three became so energized by what they saw and recognized that the loss of lands was going to impact everybody. It wasn't just going to impact the men. And they really felt that they had a role to play. And she, as she describes it, the next day, all the women were with her. And to you can see in the film the role of women throughout. They really moved to the front line. And they demonstrate a tremendous degree of courage. In a moment where the village was watching their olive trees getting uprooted and they were watching themselves become dispossessed of their land, Iltizam managed to break through a line of soldiers and literally jumped in front of a bulldozer to stop it from uprooting her and her community's olive trees months after Rachel Corey had been killed. And so the stakes were extremely high, and she was the turning point for this village. That moment became a turning point for the village. It was the first time that the bulldozers actually stopped and turned around, and that galvanized the village to keep going.
And I think that you say at a certain point, or someone says in the film, that it was really the presence of the women that kind of possibly made the difference between the success that they had in Budrus and some of the heroic but unsuccessful resistance that we saw in other villages.
It seems to me that there are a combination of factors. One was the fact that Budrus was one of the first villages to get organized using the struggle in the face of construction. And the deputy defense minister is actually on record in our film saying that this was the first time that Palestinians were getting organized. The fact that it wasn't just next to a settlement was a factor, but certainly the role of women was a huge factor.
So do you know if there was any objection on the part of men in the village or even older women to accepting leadership from a teenage girl?
To be honest, I don't know. I think that that's a great question, and that's one that I look forward to asking Iltizam about.
So the tagline for the film on your website says, "It takes a village to unite the most divided people on Earth." What did you mean by that, and whom are you calling the most divided people on Earth?
This village transcends a lot of boundaries that people who aren't on the ground seem to think are in an intractable conflict, and that includes, you know, men and women, Hamas and Fatah, Israelis and Palestinians. I mean, there are so many communities that came together in this village. And so, you know, when we've spoken to audiences, there seems to be, you know, a lot of speaking theoretically about Hamas and Fatah, for example, coming together. And here, certainly about Israelis and Palestinians coming together. And this was a village where you don't have to imagine what it might look like. All you have to do is take a look at what this village was able to accomplish and the relationships of trust and of commitment that still exist today.
So how were Ayad and the other members of the popular committee? Because I don't want to make it sound like it was a one-man show. I know Ayad Mahrar quite well, actually, and was in Budrus in those first days of the resistance. And when you look at tape from the demonstrations, you don't really necessarily see him in the front. I mean, what you see is the things that other people were doing that he was able to motivate and support people to do. But how was the popular committee against the wall in Budrus able to unite the political factions in their community when so many other leaders have been unable to do that?
I think that your point about the fact that Ayad's not always in the front is very appropriate. I think that indicates how he went about his organizing. Initially, when our team approached him, he kept sending us to other popular committee members, other individuals. He kept saying, no, I'm not the story. So-and-so is the story, or this person is the story. They would all send us back to Ayad. One of the challenges with documentary film, or film generally, is that it's narrative driven, it's story driven. It's hard to take a structural look or an empirical look or a historical look at an issue. You're often telling it through the lens of particular individuals and points of view. And given everybody's feedback and who they pointed us to, there seemed to be the greatest agreement that Ayad was the appropriate choice as somebody to focus on in the village. But he was not alone. And I think one of the mistakes that people make in constantly referencing the Gandhis and the Martin Luther King Juniors is that they're looking for that one iconic or one charismatic leader, when in fact it's about community organizers who are at the back, who are handing the megaphone to others, who are training people, who are saying to their daughters, why don't you go ahead and organize them? I'm not going to do it for you.
And in the film, you also focus some on an Israeli border policewoman, Yasmin Levy. Talk about her role in the story.
I think in a way, Yasmin completes the story, because we were trying to tell a story of what went on at the time. And there are no external talking heads in the film. Nobody comes and comments on the situation from outside of Budrus. It's only voices of people who were there at the time. It's a cinema vérité film. And Yasmin figures prominently in footage of what was happening at the time. She was a border police officer. She's a very interesting figure. I don't want to give too much away, because I think it's worth hearing from her in the theater. She has some interesting things to say, and many people are puzzled by her and come away with radically different conclusions about her motivations and her analyses. And I think there was a lot of ambivalence for her. You know, she who knows if she had been trained to go and fight what was framed as terrorists, and then she gets there and sees Iltisam.
Do you know if she's seen the film?
I know she has not seen the film. It's actually my responsibility to take it to her, and I'm planning to do that before we bring it to the Israeli public. So I will be doing that in the next few months.
I know that when Iltisam was still a 15-year-old high school student in Palestine, she wrote an op-ed that was actually published in the Philadelphia Inquirer. And the title of that article was, "It Exists Not for Security But for Apartheid," it referring to the wall. Now, I haven't seen the whole film, but from some of the publicity that I've seen, the film seems to accept the premise that the wall is being built first and foremost for Israeli security. So this seems to me like a contradiction, and I wonder if you've ever talked to Iltisam or others in the village about that, and if so, what that conversation has been like.
I think that there are different layers to the film. I think that we certainly give the opportunity for an Israeli army spokesperson to articulate his view of who was in Budrus at the time, his view of the reason for building the barrier, wall, fence, whatever, again, terminology one uses. But I think we show the impact of it. And I think, you know, in filmmaking, you always want to try to show and not tell. When you can't show, you tell. So I think he tells. I think there's a lot of showing. And so I think different people take different conclusions away from it. So I think it's all in there. I think we've had very different conclusions drawn from different people. I think certainly we've gotten a reaction in the activist community that they would want more of the telling from this perspective, from Iltisam's perspective. But it's a live debate, and I think it's going to generate a lot of debate, a lot of discussion. When we opened in Dubai in December, there were some people who were very upset that we included any Israeli voices at all. And there were some people that were upset who didn't believe that nonviolence is a strategy that could work. So we've taken a lot of heat from all kinds of people. We're walking a very fine line. We are trying to bring forward stories that most people don't have access to and give them an opportunity to grapple with them, however difficult that may be.
I know that Ayad and Iltisam were in New York for the premiere there, but are any of the protagonists of the film going to be out here?
No, unfortunately, Ayad is a working person. You know, he has a job that he needs to go home to, and Iltisam is in medical school, and she's got school and exams. And we made a commitment to them to not take them out of their communities. Ayad's strength is his relationships to the communities and being in the field. And we don't want to turn anybody into a rock star or a superstar who's touring all over the place.
What are you hoping this film will accomplish?
I think there are multiple layers to my hope. On the ground, already, when we screened the film in Budrus, there were community leaders from Nailin, Nabi Saleh, Bil'in, and other villages, some which are undergoing similar struggles today and some which have already undergone them. And we received invitations to screen the film in multiple communities after that. A few days after we screened the film in Budrus, they had a demonstration for the first time in years. Same thing in Nabi Saleh. I mean, they demonstrated after the screening. And I think it really energized people. Somebody in Nabi Saleh said, I hope women recognize the importance of their role now that they've seen this film, because women weren't at the forefront in that community to the degree that they were in Budrus. So on a very basic level, we're hoping that it fortifies and strengthens and encourages people who are engaging in this this type of struggle to feel that it's not in vain, because I think there's a lot of disillusionment. I think there's a lot of despair. It's also to recognize the challenges. You know, I come from a Jewish community. I'm also an Israeli citizen. And the logic model often presented to me was, if Palestinians only adopted nonviolence, there would be peace in a day. And this is an opportunity for my communities to actually look at what happens when Palestinians adopt nonviolent resistance. What is, in fact, the response of the Israeli military and the Israeli community and the Israeli media? And I think that's a real opportunity for people to take a look, a hard look, and make some assessments based on that. Interestingly, I did a couple of test screenings of the film, very small, for some Israeli audiences, and some of them who were on what they considered to be the center left, who had always regarded the Israelis who were in Budrus showing solidarity and standing with the Palestinian community there as radicals, as fringe. And suddenly there was a sometimes grudging, but sometimes really deep felt respect for what it was that they were doing, and a sense that in an ironic way, they were the best ambassadors for the Israeli public vis-a-vis communities who had never interacted with anyone other than soldiers and settlers. So I do, I don't want to be overly rosy and optimistic. I've been engaged in this issue long enough to be fairly skeptical. But we've seen it happen where people suddenly recognize that there is a role, there are different roles for people to play in advancing a resolution to the conflict.
My guest has been Ronit Avni. She's one of the producers of the film Budrus, which is opening at the San Francisco International Film Festival. Thank you for this wonderful film and for all of your great work. I'm Kate Raphael for Women's Magazine.
Budrus screens tonight at 9:15 at the Kabuki Theater in San Francisco, which is at 881 Post Street, and also on Wednesday afternoon at 3:45 at the Clay Theater on 2261 Fillmore Street. To buy tickets or learn more, go to sfiff.org. Iltizam encourages people who see the film and enjoy it to vote Budrus as best documentary in the festival. You can find more information about the film, The Village, and just vision at budrusthemovie.org. This is Women's Magazine on listener-sponsored KPFA and online at www.kpfa.org.